Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to another episode of Talk Shonen. I am Jared.
And my name is Turtle.
His name is Batman.
I'm Batman.
No,
I'm
Batman. Wait, I gotta do the real Christian Bale. And I am Turtle.
The night and vengeance.
So much bass. tons and tons
from,
of bass.
From Kyle's response, yes, it was real bad.
It must have been a lot. Must have been a lot. Probably peak.
Darkness! Where is she? Where are the other drugs going?
I don't know which one to turn down.
I swear to God, swear to me!
All right, then.
Okay.
Well, today we are going to be revisiting the world of Critical Role. We're going back to Tal Dorei, everybody.
Critical Role!
We're talking about...
Critical Role. Scanlan's hand.
We're talking about the Legends of Vox Machina, the whole damn series.
It is now fully published. Well, season one. They've confirmed season two.
They did?
They've confirmed season two.
Oh my God, I'm so
very excited.
Though. Very, very happy.
Yeah.
So, what did you think about it?
Fucking amazing is what I thought about it.
Good. I'm so glad.
It was absolutely... Okay.
Spoilers.
Spoilers ahead.
Spoilers.
Anyone that hasn't seen Vox Machina or The Legend of Vox Machina.
Yeah.
Or watched Critical Role or whatever.
Anything.
It is... So I love the way they did certain things.
Okay.
I want to do a shout out to Matt Mercer for one of the things.
Oh, I'm so happy because you're very hard on Matt Mercer. Even though you love him as a
player. I love Matt Mercer. I think he's an amazing player. I was not a huge fan of him as a DM.
Yeah.
And that still hold. I don't know if I'm totally honest if I'd enjoy running in one of his campaigns, but that doesn't.
You just need to be a world class voice actor in order to run in one of his campaigns.
Well, I'm getting there. I do audiobooks, kind of. So I'm working on it.
Slowly
and my Batman
your
just
way
now
there.
Was pretty on point. I think
spot on. That was spot on.
Yeah, thank you. And just like Travis
Willingham.
I too fall into Southern accents for no goddamn reason.
Absolutely no reason, yes. That is true. Except for Travis is from, he went to school in Texas.
Okay, whatever excuse you want to make for him.
He loves it.
I know,
he
I
loves,
love Travis.
He loves
He's,
he
he's
loves
probably
Southern
my favorite.
He's great. He's amazing.
Him as Chetney in Campaign 3.
You're watching Campaign 3?
No, wait. So I'm not on Campaign 3, but I am watching all of the spoilers
the clips
of Campaign 3.
Chetney's my favorite character
in
Campaign
3. I'm so excited to watch Campaign 3 because of Chetney.
Yeah, he's my favorite.
I'm I don't know,
so
seven
far,
or
just
eight.
Just so you know,
yeah,
he has two characters in the season.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he has two characters because of something that happens. I'm not going to ruin it for you. But both of the characters that he played... are my favorite because they're both geriatric old men.
Oh my God.
They're both old dudes that are ridiculous.
I watched a whole clip show thing about how he's obsessed with werewolves.
Yes.
And Chetney is his first. And when he does the reveal and the rest of the cast didn't know, that's an awesome moment.
Yeah. He's been wanting to play a blood hunter werewolf since he learned that there was such a thing as a blood hunter werewolf.
Exactly. So, either way, I'm a big fan of his, and I love that kind of stuff. I'm only on episode 6, or no, I think I'm on episode 7 of Campaign 2.
Campaign 2? Yeah. Are you liking it more than
I love it a lot more than Campaign 1.
Okay, cool.
There's something, Campaign 1, the characters, it was good, it was built up, but something
once again,
about
it was like Tolkien.
It was.
Campaign 1 was Tolkien.
Yeah. Campaign 2 seems like at least Matt Mercer got more into the presentation of D&D.
Yeah.
made it more camera slash podcast friendly.
Yes.
And the characters are really great in campaign too.
Oh my god, yeah.
I love Caleb and Nott, and like
Caleb is such a complex character. Oh, yeah. It's so amazing. But and, all of them are great.
And Jester is absolutely fucking hilarious.
Jester's Laura. Adorably amazing.
Yeah. So I mean, just so far it's really good.
Yeah.
So yeah. But back to
Legend of Vox Machina.
This season was so incredible. Mm-hmm. And the callback, so what brought me to this was the call out to Matt Mercer.
Yeah.
Is how he brought Pike in, which I know mechanically he did mm-hmm. from in game because
she was filming
Ashley blindside. Johnson is offsite, onsite. Yeah. Whatever. And she was there for it via video call, I believe.
Yes, she was Skyping, which hilariously used to go out a lot.
Yeah.
So they would play into it. They'd be like, Pike, where'd you go? All the time.
Yes.
Yeah. She and would text. There was one entire episode where Skype went down mm-hmm. and she just texted in what she was going to do next.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So she literally was just like, so I'm going to check this now. And mm-hmm. then Matt would get, so they'd be like, so Pike goes over and checks that now.
That's amazing.
It was great.
So the whole, okay, she's, you know, astral projecting in to help them because God knows they needed a cleric.
Yeah. Which is what they did in the show. And I was thinking, are they going to change it or are they going to keep it? Yeah. And the fact that they kept it 100% how it was in stream was amazing.
It was so good.
And she had the most badass introduction.
She nuked that zombie army.
Which is what she did in the stream. And I was like, please, please still do it. Please still do it. And they did it. And I was happy.
Yeah.
And the world was right.
Yes.
So I have to ask, in the last episode that we talked about this, mm-hmm. you talked about some characters that you didn't like too much. And one of them was my boy Percy.
Yeah.
How you feeling about my boy Percy now?
Still not a huge fan of
still
Percy.
Still not a huge fan. Is it because he's so he's quintessentially edgelord?
Fucking edgelord.
He's very.
He's such a. Like, I don't hate Percy. Don't get me wrong. He did grow on me a little bit.
Yeah.
There's a couple. And I get it. He was possessed by a demon kind of thing.
He was possessed by a demon and he was tortured while he was a child. Yeah, and watched his whole family be slaughtered. There's a bunch of stuff that goes to it.
And sure. I'm going to be totally honest. And I'm not shitting on, what's his face?
Talison. Yeah.
But I don't love Percy, and Molly's probably my least favorite in campaign two.
Oh my goodness, Molly! So, I love Molly.
So, and if I'm actually totally honest, even more, the parts I've seen in campaign three don't really care for his character either. So I'm thinking it's just a him thing,
okay,
and not necessarily. And this is if he ever by chance hears this, just know. I was going to be really spicy just to be spicy. I was just going to be like, just no, fuck you, Talisman. No, I don't feel that way at all. I don't love the characters I've seen so far.
Yeah.
They're just not my style.
They're not your cup of tea.
Yeah, they're not what I get really engaged with. And that doesn't mean they're not good. Clearly, they're your fucking favorite.
Yeah, like Percy in particular. Molly wasn't my favorite. I loved Molly as a character.
Yeah.
He plays another character at another point where he's a cleric.
Okay.
And his character was actually completely different from Molly, completely different from Percy,
Maybe I'll like that one. I haven't seen that one
Ashton
yet.
In campaign three, where he's a really, really chill dude, mm-hmm. and his backstory is actually really, really happy, which is weird for D&D, where it's like he comes from like a loving home
like just perfect
and has parents, and he loves his family. Mm-hmm. And so his character, where he's playing a cleric, is actually really, really good. He was another one of my favorite parts of that.
So but, every interaction I see with him, I like him as a person.
Yeah.
I'm just characters I'm not.
Yeah.
So that I've seen, the characters that I've seen, because I've never even seen the cleric one yet, so... Mm-hmm.
I think you'll end up liking that character once you do see it.
That'll be the Redeemer.
But it is 100% a 180 from all the other characters. Mm-hmm. That even in like the one shots that he's done, like the Christmas one shot.
Yeah.
What other ones did we do?
Did you watch the Sam Riegel one shot with the raccoon fat two raccoon or two trash two furious or whatever it was?
Yeah, I saw parts of I've seen parts of the one shots.
Yeah.
Just like I've seen a couple of the one shots fully through.
I love that concept of like. One of the cast members now does their own campaign.
Pretty much every cast member has run a game. Yeah, they've done a one shot each and every single one of them. But you know, I mean, I can see that you still would have your reservations about Percy. He hasn't opened up as a person yet.
Now, some of the clips I've seen with him later on, with him and Vex?
Yes, him and Vex.
Yeah. I had to think Vex or Vax. I got
it was the bane of Matt's existence. Yeah. It'll be the bane of everybody I'm else's.
Sure. those look good. So I mean past this season, and I believe I just heard today or yesterday that season 2 is confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
So past this season, and like I said, I didn't hate Percy. I just didn't love
Percy. You didn't like him as much as everybody else.
Percy very much. Maybe season 2 I'll be like Percy
I feel like he's going to open up into more of his new personality because he was tortured.
Yeah, there's a whole
There's a girl on YouTube that does like music and she makes like Critical Role songs.
Yeah,
and she did a song for everybody in Campaign 2 originally, mm-hmm. and now she's doing Campaign 1, and she just did Percy's song, and there was an amazing line in that song. I'm probably gonna butcher it. I'm gonna paraphrase it. But it said that it's hard to see a future when you're stuck living in the past. Well, and that is that's Percy in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Like he can't be who he needs to be. He can't be anybody else other than an instrument of vengeance because the only thing that he sees every time he looks at anything.
Yeah.
Because just think about all the times where when they were sitting around the campfire and he completely killed the fucking vibe. You know, who's the most dangerous person that you ever went up against? And he was just like, we're about to meet him and you're all going to go up against him too.
Yeah.
Like he killed that vibe because that's all he can think about at this moment.
Related to the most dangerous person you're about to go up against.
Yeah.
Grog diving into fucking acid.
Yes.
The moment in the show where you just see clothes drop, dive. Yeah. I'm like, at least he was smart enough to take off his clothes.
To take his clothes off, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was just go in, just raw dog.
That was a good hole.
Goliath butt cheeks on screen.
Goliath assholes.
And just the chunks of flesh coming off.
Because he was diving into
acid.
I mean, and in the show, I believe in the podcast, like he's taking insane
massive damage.
And only by the fucking prayers of Pike.
Yeah.
Did he manage to not...
And rage.
Oh,
no, actually, wait.
I don't know if rage blocked acid damage.
He didn't even rage because rage wouldn't even half acid damage.
Rage, I don't think, should half acid damage. So he just took it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was... There was so many heroic moments in the show, like things that highlighted each character. And I think it did it perfectly.
Yeah.
Like it really... There was like a little bit, Vax had great scenes and Vax had highlight scenes. Keyleth had so many things, which is great because I liked her character from the stream and I feel like she got so much unnecessary hate.
You talked about this, that there's a lot of hate for her.
So much.
Because I liked her stuff from the show.
Yeah.
I liked her stuff from the show.
Yeah.
And I liked the parts and clips I've seen of the stream, so I don't know where all the hate came from.
There's two things. Maybe more than two things. I don't know how many things I'm about to say. But
There's an undetermined amount of things.
People said that, one, she metagamed.
Okay.
Which everyone metagames.
Everyone metagames to some
extent. Everybody metagames.
Chetney, Travis, it's campaign 3.
Yeah.
And he metagamed the shit out of an encounter that he was the only one there to witness because he couldn't remember none of the fucking details and didn't take notes.
Exactly. Yeah. But, I mean, in campaign 2, they created a thing called the metagame pigeon where they would just go, remember that you have that? Like metagaming just happens. And I think the fans have kind of become more chill with it where they're like, okay, if everybody's doing it, I guess it's not really that big of a deal. But so people had an issue with her because they said that she was metagaming. Mm-hmm. People had an issue with her because they said that she tried as a character to sound smarter than she was. And sometimes it would railroad some things. Yes, but she's trying to become a leader, so she would interject herself
also,
and try to do that.
If you're playing a smart character, you're not necessarily as smart as your super genius character.
Yeah.
Maybe, you're not gonna... That's a difficult play.
Yeah.
I have a lot of friends that play high charisma characters, and they are not high charisma.
So you're just like, I say something charismatic.
Yeah, you gotta be like, you gotta give them... let them try. You want them to try and roleplay it, but, give them some benefit of the doubt.
Not everyone's gonna be able to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Same with wisdom... Same with strength, dexterity, whatever. You're not expecting them to literally lift up the boulder when their character can.
Yeah.
But you know that that's what's happening in the game.
Yeah.
Just like you're not expecting them to really solve a complex mathematical equation or know what the fuck they're talking about if they don't have the intel to back it up.
You're
not
expecting them to give you a general speech just because their character's trying to do it. But yeah, so that was a lot of things. And then other people said that Matt showed her favoritism because they're married. No,
I haven't seen that at all.
He did give her a really cool, like, he did create a bunch of stuff for her, but as his wife, let him create whatever the fuck
Even the stuff I've seen of campaign one, like, Matt generally favors the group, I think.
Yeah.
If anyone can be like, Matt shits on me, and it's Sam. And it's because it's comedic, and Sam goes with it.
And Sam earns it. Sam purposely tries to break Matt so that Matt will do some funny shit in return.
Well, like, if he's the only person Matt is not, like, constantly favoriting is Sam. And that works out hilariously.
Yeah, yeah. But even, like, and that is the thing with the DMing style of Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Matt is all about, I want my friends to have fun.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to make things, create things. But at the same time, I know that if I deny certain things, they're going to end up still having more fun.
Yeah.
Because he has been like, no, it's not how that works.
Yeah.
And he's like, I know you're trying to fuck with me.
Yeah.
And I know you're trying to break it.
Mm-hmm.
Like in campaign two, Caleb has the, what the hell is it called? Keen mind.
Yeah.
Where Keen. He like always, he can always remember stuff, always other things. And he was trying to use it in a way. And Matt just goes, Keen mind isn't, he's like, Keen mind isn't a solve all for literally anything that involves remembering anything. He's like, you're not going to remember while swimming underwater, on fire, like under attack, all these things. He's like, with your adrenaline going, you're not going to remember everything perfectly just because, oh, I took a left here.
I watched a whole thing about that, about Caleb from, I think actually it was Philip DeFranco.
Okay. Yeah.
I love Philly D.
Yeah.
And, He did like a Matt Mercer interview podcast.
Yes,
interview.
His podcast show. He did one with Marisha too. I think so.
Yeah. And during the interview, he's like, "Have your characters ever really messed you up?" And the example Matt gave was Liam being Caleb. He's like, "Yeah, because I have all of this stuff planned, and then Liam will be like, I look for a bookstore. I'm gonna start reading this book. I need titles and this, and makes Matt whip out like a bookstores and raunchy porn book titles and like you know what was it Tusk Love, which is by the way a trope now but like." I think
it's in Legends of Vox Machina.
I don't.
It was in Gilmore Shop.
Oh, you're right. Yeah,
it was panning.
Mm-hmm.
It was Tusk Love.
Because they added a bunch of Easter eggs for later stuff, and so like you know, there's something mad to pull out of his ass last second because Liam is like diving into these details.
He's like, tell me what books are there.
Yeah.
What can I
pick
up?
Can you give me a snippet of the story, old bookshop keeper?
I open it to the middle of the book exactly. Tell me what I'm reading.
Yeah, exactly. That's the kind of stuff he did.
Yeah. Which is funny because like in Legends of Vox Machina, the character that Liam is playing is very much not like that.
Oh, no, not at all.
Very much. What did you think about Vax? Because I know Vax was one of the ones where you're like, he's cool, but with his sister.
So, yeah, he
did he open up at all, especially with his whole burgeoning love for Keyleth?
I enjoyed that? His development and the once we got past the first couple episodes, I liked that he kind of there was definitive separation between him and him and his sister.
Yes.
And so they weren't just one entity basically functioning. It was he was separate and had his own goals and she didn't agree with him. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she didn't agree with him and it was
There was some friction and there was some like pandering where he's like, oh, because I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that I'm not going to do that. Yeah.
I like that he got charmed again. And like there's a lot of that kind of play on stuff. And I did really enjoy that part of the character. He's still not my favorite by any stretch.
Yeah.
But he was to this point, Scanlan. Scanlan's
going to be. What did you think about it was literally referred to as Scambo. Stream when he one manned
the whole
fucking house.
Yes. Amazing. Amazing.
That was almost like one for one what happened.
Yeah.
Like during the stream. I was like, there's no way that they're gonna focus as much on it as they did.
Yeah.
And have all the things that happened. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I will say, like, some of the things were changed. Like some of the things that he did with a potion in this were just done with a spell.
Yeah.
But I loved how they did that, how they did like the enlarge, reduce. Well, so
they did a nod to the spell thing because he did the potion or he did the scroll.
He did the scroll. That's what he ended up doing.
And he was like, I'm going to have to remember that. And I think that's a nod to him learning a new spell later on for it. But That was just absolutely incredible.
And the Triceratops.
The Triceratops and just the fire breathing. And
yeah.
It was just so good.
And I will always remember that scene from the stream mm-hmm. because that's how it ends up. It ends up with them on a roof mm-hmm. where it's you have a gnome versus a Goliath.
Yeah.
And the Goliath has taken tons of damage mm-hmm. and dished out a decent amount. But, you know, Scanlan is Scanlan. He's able to pull things out of his ass.
Yeah.
And just him, like, the house about to explode mm-hmm. and him just being like, I just dive off.
Yeah.
And he just catches himself with Bigby's hand, which has now been reskinned as Scanlan's hand.
I know it's Bigby's hand. I've called it Bigby's hand for...
Yeah.
But I've never loved Bigby's hand.
Yeah.
Now it's Scanlan's hand.
Yeah. And that's, Scanlan's hand is great.
Scanlan's hand is amazing. Scanlan's hand has so much more use and roleplay potential than Bigby's hand did in my mind.
It's also his mage hand, I noticed.
Yeah.
Because he does mage hand and it's... Scanlan's hand.
They kind of like wrapped them together.
Yeah.
And it's just a thing he does.
Yeah.
But when he wants to do big stuff, it's Bigby's. And when he wants to do small stuff, it's just Mage Hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, which makes sense. I mean, it's all flavor.
Yeah.
So.
And Matt is big on, you know, flavor it however you want.
Yeah.
And make it work with your character.
Yep.
What do you think about the little Easter egg that Dungeons & Dragons exists in?
Because the guards are playing Xandria. It?
Yes.
Hilarious. He goes into the door and they're just like...
He's like, that's going to be 6 damage to.
It was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole show was just really on point.
It was littered with a lot of really cool things for nerds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think if I was watching it from the perspective of someone that, one, didn't see the stream, and two, didn't really know anything about Dungeons & Dragons, I think I still would have enjoyed it.
It still is basic fantasy stuff enough that you're not going to get totally lost in the mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
But... with enough of the nods to the mechanics that, like, I can look in and go, well, I know they're doing this and I know they're doing
be
that.
Be like, Pike just did Destroy Undead.
Yeah, exactly.
She just
pop
did,
in and
she just did Sacred Weapon.
Yeah. Scanlan's using Inspire. Like, I get, like, I can see, like, the roots to those things.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about, because I need your knowledge on this, because I haven't seen Campaign 1.
Gotcha.
Pike.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing where she goes to the temple and is trying to talk to the light. Is that
not in it at all?
So I assumed I assumed this was them covering up where Pike was.
Yes.
And that Pike really wasn't there, and they may or may not have ever mentioned it, but definitely didn't roleplay it.
I think Matt and Ashley have had
talked about conversations
about, like, what do you think you were doing mm-hmm. in this time?
Mm-hmm.
Because Pike literally, like, Pike wasn't as torn about faith
mm-hmm.
in the earlier
streams.
So they
kind of played that up from the beginning. So they must have storyboarded that of, like...
Yeah. So, like, the you know, what she needed to do, because I think she was originally, like, or maybe it's later on she was rebuilding a temple.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so, like, she didn't have as much conflicts of faith as it came up in the show. Mm-hmm. But I liked how they did that. The fact that she lost her connection mm-hmm. completely and it was
all in her head.
It was all in her head. She was doing it to herself.
Yeah, I did too. I enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah. So it was, I think it was really well done. But I think that they probably did have a conversation on what do you think was happening?
They must have, like, planned, if not while they were filming for this show, planned it out, obviously, to, like, this is what could make sense in this situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, okay, I just wanted to see if there was any part of it that did show up before, if this was totally new fabrication.
No, completely new. Okay. It's, you know, whenever she came back and when mm-hmm. she did the astral projection, it was kind of glanced over.
Yeah.
It was always like, she's doing some Saren Ray shit.
Yeah. Like,
she's like, oh, guys, I just really got to go do that right now. I wish I could stay. It was almost like Ashley saying to her friends, be like, man, I really wish I could keep playing with you guys, but I gotta bounce.
At the campaign, I've seen a couple of those clips where, like, she is. They're like, what are you doing? Are you going to be, you're like, I forget what they were referencing.
Yeah.
They're like throwing shade at, like, what her job was.
Yeah.
While she's like, no, it's nothing like that. I'm not going to a theater production or anything, like, or something like.
Yeah.
Something along those lines. I can't remember what it was now.
In campaign 2, due to the fact that Blindside was ending, mm-hmm. they straight up make jokes about it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because I know Blindside's about, like, they find a girl in, like, a bag or something.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, a big part of, like, the first
episode. I have no idea about what Blindside
and
is.
So they, like, literally mentioned that. They're like, oh, it's not like you found a girl in a bag or anything like that. And be like, oh, man, geez. It's almost like you have a giant Blindside about that part of your life.
See, that makes so much more sense because I remember that line,
mm-hmm.
and I did not know that she was on Blindside. I just knew she was doing other roles.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. No, they threw so much shade.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But yeah. So, I know you mentioned Percy and his demon and everything like that. And as you know, of course, like he, well, you probably don't know this, but he isn't multiclassed. He's 100%
the map made.
He's 100% fighter, gunslinger, subclass. So like that's what he is.
And that Matt made that gunslinger subclass.
Yes,
didn't he?
Made it for him.
I know. This gunslinger subclass?
Yeah, because you said that you had a friend that played.
Yeah, because my edgelord friend wanted to play the fucking Matt Mercer gunslinger subclass.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know anything about. I forget who ran it. I might have ran it, or my brother did. But
yeah,
I remember he tried so hard to break this class. And he did it with magical.
I feel like you probably can.
Oh, you can break anything, really.
Yeah, but you can if you try hard enough. But no, he wasn't. He, you know, he very much is like a warlock, right there.
Yeah,
like it makes sense that he has warlock abilities.
Yeah,
and he does, but it was his magic initiative feat.
Yeah,
so like he has magic initiate for warlock. So you know that really a lot of what he can do.
Yeah.
Not really what he was doing.
Yeah.
But I feel like the flavor of...
Oh, they did it really well for the show.
Literally fighting the demon.
Yeah.
Was great. And I loved the moments of him pointing a gun at somebody and just going, I don't want to do this, crying, and the finger slowly pulling the trigger.
Yeah.
What did you think of that conflict?
So that part was good. I liked that he was... You know, whatever. And you can kind of see, like, if you're watching it, you can see, like, failed a will save, passed a will save.
Yeah.
Failed a will save, passed a will save. Yeah. And you're like, oh, what's the next one going to be? I did really enjoy it. That was probably my favorite part of Percy.
Mm-hmm.
Not anything with his family. I didn't care for his sister. I didn't really like...
His sister's a good character, but she's
I didn't really care for his dramatic backstory and the killing everyone, yada, yada, yada.
But everyone in D&D has a tragic backstory.
This is paint by numbers, but D&D. Yeah. But I did really enjoy the conflict with the demon. And what was it?
Ripley?
Scanlan just chucking the gun into the acid. Yeah.
That is kind of how it happens.
Yeah.
In the stream.
Okay, how's it happen in the stream?
In the stream, because in the stream, a magic initiate doesn't give you so much access to the power that like your patron can live through you.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So no one knew about Orthax.
Mm-hmm.
No one in the party knew.
Yeah.
Of course, the players knew.
Yeah.
But no one had a high enough perception role to catch, oh, there's black smoke coming off him right now.
Yeah.
They were just like, dude, why you keep acting weird every time you do these things?
Yeah.
And Scanlan was the only one to kind of notice that it's like, he's acting really, really weird.
Yeah.
He's like, I feel like we got to get, he's like, we probably shouldn't have that gun anymore. Mm-hmm. Every time he acts weird, he's using that gun. He does weird stuff with the gun. But everybody's like, no, it's probably just Percy being Percy. Mm-hmm. And Scanlan was just like, I don't know. He does kind of get his hands on it.
Yeah.
And once he gets his hands on it, then he's just like, hey, Percy, can I see that really quick? Bup, bup. Oh, it's in the acid.
Okay.
And then Percy, I think, actually wasn't even there for it.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, so where's my gun, Scanlan? And he's like, oh, it's gone.
Uh-huh.
It's melted in the acid.
Oh my God.
Which I kind of do like how they're like, how he's just like, no, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I beat the demon.
Yeah.
There's totally no way that thing is still in there. And Scala just throws it in, and the demon pops out of the acid and be like, no way.
Yeah, huh? No way. Yep. Yeah. No way possible.
Yeah.
He can just build another.
Yeah. But, okay. I'm trying to think because you covered the things that you the how the characters have been growing on you. Because this is what this really is about. Of course I was going to love the show.
Well, yeah, you have all that time and you know, investment into it.
Yeah, yeah. So I wanted to really see what you thought about
it. Also, I'm hooked. I'm hooked enough to the point that I'm now watching a ton of other Critical Role shit. A podcast I was not interested in before this.
Yeah.
And like, I think that's come
tons
up
of times. Yeah.
I'm a big D&D person. I could not have given a single fuck about Critical Role before The Legend of Vox Machina.
Mm-hmm. Which is amazing. And I feel like that's a testament to how well it was done.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Trying to think. Because there's something that I remember watching it, and I was just like, I need to ask Turtle what he was going to think about this. Mm. There is one thing that irritated me.
Okay,
what I will say. And it's only as a watcher of the stream will you know this. Mm-hmm. When Silas was beat mm-hmm. in the stream, mm-hmm. how it was done was super intense.
Okay.
Which this was super intense, mm-hmm. and I loved it.
Yeah.
He was beaten pretty much the same way, mm-hmm. where it was a sun ray. Mm-hmm. It, you know, that's what it was. Mm-hmm. But how it was done in the stream, at one point, Marisha has to move the sunbeam mm-hmm. to hit him because he's yeah. avoiding it. He wasn't grappled.
Yeah.
So he's avoiding it, and she doesn't have the ability to move it all the way because, you know, you can only move it,
yeah.
you know, what is it, like 15, 20 feet?
20 feet around yeah. or something like yeah. that with a bonus action.
With a bonus action.
Something like that.
So he, you know, with his vampire movement, was able to move yeah, super no far problem, away from yeah. it. So he moved super far away, and she couldn't get it all the way over to her or to him. But what she could do was get it to Pike, and Pike has her shield.
Oh.
And Pike literally used her shield to reflect the yeah. beam at Silas.
Okay.
And that's how Silas got killed.
Okay.
And I was really hoping, like, I was really, so I get, really hoping
I get why
for
they
that.
Did the Grog thing.
Yeah.
Because if you have any concept of D&D rules, mm-hmm. that is a big stretch for the
it
shield
is.
Spell.
Yeah.
The Shield of Faith.
That well, is, no, it was just her legitimate shield.
Oh, just a regular metal
yeah, it was,
shield?
It was her
that's
shield.
That's still a huge stretch yeah. for what a shield can do.
Yeah.
And the sunbeam.
Yeah.
It's not... I can see why they opted to have a fucking Piccolo moment or Kakarot Piccolo and Goku moment
yeah.
with Silas and Grog and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense. It's just there was a part of me that was like, I really hope that they do this. And then they didn't do it. And I was like, I still love it.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of wish that Pike got, you know, because Pike really did get highlighted in
yeah.
this. And I like that they did that.
The other thing. Sorry.
No, that's cool.
The other thing is that I think Grog needed a little more screen time at that point. He spent the first half of the fight basically out of it.
Yeah, he was like unconscious almost. Yeah.
yeah. yeah. And I think, I don't know if that was, I didn't see the stream, but that to me looked like he got dropped early on mm-hmm. and then like made a nat 20 to get back up or something.
Yeah, because I mean, if you think about it, he just jumped into a vat of acid.
Yeah, yeah. So he was
took
already hurt.
An insane mm-hmm. number of damage yeah. right before that encounter.
Yeah. So like I watched it thinking
they weren't taking a long rest yeah, in the hallway before exactly. going to the ziggurat.
I watched it thinking, well, Grog got dropped because he got dropped because he already went into that way more hurt than everyone else.
Yeah, and he got hit by magic.
And
not,
he got yeah by magic, so he's yes. down. And then when he gets back up, I'm like, probably rolled a nat 20 on his death save.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's been so long since I've seen it. Like it's been legit. I think like four.
You don't remember all
4.5 years.
48. Solid hours of this campaign, Jared. I'm disappointed in you.
But yeah, it's been like four
or
and a half years.
Not even this
since
campaign.
I saw it.
This story of a campaign.
Yeah, this story of the campaign. Yeah. yeah no. I'm sorry. I'm fucking mm-hmm. up. I don't remember that far back.
Yeah.
But no. So like, I don't remember exactly what he did, but I do think yes, he did need more yeah. screen time.
Yeah.
Especially because of how amazingly Travis plays.
Oh
Grog.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't just have him not doing anything. And yeah. I liked to see him going back up against mm-hmm. Silas. I liked to see that.
I liked that matchup.
Yeah, I liked hearing him just be like, "Oh, I can take it," mm-hmm. you know, yeah. and just being like, "Hit me."
Everything about it was great.
Yeah, it was really, really well done.
I love that he's a blood sword.
Oh yeah, yeah. yeah. That comes.
I'm sure
into
it will
play some more. I don't
it's
know.
It's definitely not a cursed blade or anything.
Yeah,
no.
I don't know if you noticed that look right there yeah. and that very obvious failed wisdom
yeah,
save.
Yeah, I've never seen a cursed blade in my life. Picks it up, throws
cursed
it.
Cursed blade? What is that? Those don't exist in Dungeons and Dragons. Every magical item is a good magical mm-hmm. item.
Yep.
It's not like we had a gun that had a demon in it or anything
no,
like that.
No, nothing like that. Why would this vampire lord have a cursed blade? Don't be ridiculous.
Yeah. And that is, I will say, it leads to a lot of hilarity.
Awesome.
In coming times, because Grog isn't smart enough.
No.
Grog is... Anybody who does, who's never watched the stream doesn't know his stats. Grog has such low intelligence, he can't read. He's... He was polymorphed into a giant eagle at one point and got smarter.
Yeah. Well, because isn't it like, isn't it like his stats in there, like his intel's a six?
And six.
Giant eagles have a 10 intel or something?
They have an eight.
Eight. Eight.
They have an eight. A giant eagle is as intelligent as normally your lowest stat would be.
Yeah.
But he rolled a six and said he didn't want to change it.
Yeah.
He was told that at a six, you can't read.
Yeah.
So he played into it. I think he at one point gets up to a seven because he learns how to read.
Yeah.
Like, that's how
there's some
role play
with that with like Pike trying to teach him.
Yeah. Pike teaches him how to read.
How to spell his name and read and stuff like that.
So he gets up to a seven. But yeah, so with someone with that low of intelligence and that low of wisdom, with that low of intelligence, you're not going to know, hey, maybe I shouldn't fuck around with this. You're just going to be like, oh, sword. And his wisdom is also pretty low.
Yeah.
So
what?
Any check for being charmed, he's charmed.
It happens.
Yeah. Oh, actually, that does remind me. What did you...
Silver tongue, dude?
Yes, the silver tongue fight. Mm-hmm. What did you think of that? Because I loved that.
Well, I thought it was really good. I was I'll be a little honest here.
Okay.
On that episode, I was drunk. So, I remember big chunks of it. I don't remember a lot of the dialogue.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
I did really like it. I love that they just tore his fucking tongue out. And then they're like, what do you have? Well, apparently only that tongue. Because no loot.
Yeah.
I liked the animate armors, which is, I'm just assuming like suits of animate armor.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
I feel like, I don't know from the stream, my own knowledge on D&D, I remember thinking like, I feel like these suits of armor are being played up as tougher than they would be.
Yeah, definitely.
For sure.
100%.
I remember watching it and being like, just attack the frog dude. Like, just stop fucking around.
Yeah.
Kill him.
Yeah.
And my brother that I was watching it with was like, yeah, there's, you know, reasons they don't do it from the gameplay. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know about that. Like, they're not portraying those reasons well in the show.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
a ample opportunity to whip a dagger at this dude.
He was very fast. He did dodge bullets.
Oh, that's true, I guess. Yeah.
So, I mean, they did try to kill him right off the bat.
I suppose.
And he was just like, nope.
I loathe villains that love to monologue.
Oh, but that was his whole personality.
I know, that was his whole thing. So as he starts talking, I'm like, just fucking kill him, please.
I do love Percy's whole, like, stalling tactic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just being like, one thing that I appreciate is that you give enough time to figure it out.
Yeah.
And he just ricochets the bullet, which I was like, that was cool, because that played up to how Percy's intelligence. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it's like, all right, well, I'm fucked.
Mm-hmm.
I got all my friends about to kill me.
Yep.
What do I do? I don't want to hurt any of them. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do? I'm going to bounce the bullet a couple times.
Yeah. But yeah, that was it was a really good fight. It wasn't by far my favorite, but I really enjoyed it.
I think
I liked Scambo more.
Do you know what actually ended up being? Yeah, Scambo was a great one, but do you know what ended up being one of my favorite fights was against the Shades in the fourth episode, fifth or sixth?
Okay.
The one where they're in their keep.
Oh,
and the Shades come and assassinate every single guard.
That was a really good fight.
That was incredible.
I was watching that going, I know exactly what these shadows are.
Yeah.
I know. I have a friend that every campaign he's died in.
You told me that!
Yeah,
that he died
from shadow.
Yeah.
And I've made a promise that if I ever kill him, it's going to be by shadow, just to keep the trend going.
Like, even if a dragon's there, a shadow will pop up.
Dragon shadow, you're really fucked now. Like, that's it. And I know all the mechanics behind it because I know the shadows pretty well.
Yeah.
That scene was awesome and terrifying.
I was like, they're so much. Like, of course, they're not going to die.
Mm-hmm.
They're the main characters.
Yeah.
They're not going to go anywhere. But the tension that it built and how the artists set up the cinematography, basically, for every single thing, it had a real sense of like a good horror.
Yeah.
Like, it was a horror episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was very well done. The buildup of anticipation and you know, not knowing what's going to happen next was super high through the roof. And I think that, oddly, was my favorite fight of everything. Plus also the fact that none of them had weapons.
Yeah, they were all screwed. They had no weapons. They had no magic, which could is the only thing that's going to hit the shadows.
Yeah. Scanlan didn't have his instruments, so he didn't have a focus.
Yeah.
Pike was, you know, tapped out because she couldn't do anything. She couldn't access any of her cleric stuff. Ranger freaking powers aren't going to do shit.
Yeah, Ranger powers didn't do. And, like, the only person that could do anything was Pike, and she just had no faith at the time.
Yeah, so she's going to do Jack.
Yeah.
So I think that was really well orchestrated from beginning to end, that ended up being one of my favorite.
Yeah.
So, best way to finish our talks about this. Out of 10, what are you giving it?
The show as a whole?
As a whole. Now that you've seen beginning, middle,
now
end.
Now I've seen the whole first season.
You gave it a 6.5, I think. Or 6.2 or something.
I'm going to give it a solid 7.5. Now, mind you, that sounds low, except I don't rank shows very high.
Yeah.
Ever. I've only had a couple of like 8 or 9.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can ever even think of a 10.
For a show, we haven't really talked about many shows. We've talked about movies, and movies have gotten up there.
Movies have gone up there.
Yeah.
Because I like full, complete stories.
Yeah.
Shows. A show for it to really hold me and get a good rig, the whole story has to be worth it.
Yeah.
I grade on the arc, not the episode.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So like none of the old shows matter because they were all episodic.
Yeah.
And only until recently have we really done season arcs for shows, like recently in time, like the last 10, 20 years.
Yeah.
And a lot of them have not been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
There are some that are really good.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get me wrong, 7.5 is really good.
Yeah.
But yeah. I give it like a solid 7. I'm going to say 8. I really enjoyed it. It got me really interested in Critical
And it also World. Made you start watching.
Yeah. It made me believe in Matt Mercer again.
Wow.
Because I told you, I liked him. I've seen him in stuff. I've seen him on Philly D. I've seen him on Try Not to Laugh 20. With Smosh and Dimension 20. And I love him as a character and I like everything he does. I have nothing against him.
Yeah.
I just wasn't a huge fan of his DMing.
Yeah.
This got me, this was like, okay, he can DM.
Yeah. Because you're like, this is the world he built.
Yeah,
like,
this is the world he built. World.
Like, this is his world.
And it's season campaign one for sure, a little Tolkien-esque.
Yeah.
Which is the thing I didn't like about it. Campaign two, already significantly better. Mm-hmm. Still a little Tolkien-esque.
Yeah.
I'm waiting to see how three plays out.
I don't think he ever gets, because he's heavily influenced by Tolkien.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he loves that sense of high fantasy.
Matt influenced by Tolkien? I didn't pick up on any
Matt
of that.
Matt Toothy Maw Mercer is influenced by Tolkien, yeah.
Matt Tusklove Terser Mercer. Yeah, so, I mean, it was very good.
Okay, so 7.5 or 8.
I'll go solid 8. I'll go 8.
Solid 8? Okay, cool. I'm at a 10.
Yeah,
I'm
of course 10. You are.
Yeah, well, I was at a 9 before. I was at like a 9.2 before.
Also, this entire season focuses on your favorite character, the Edgelord.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so, one of my three favorite characters.
All right, but okay.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and it is my favorite arc of the stream. So, like, I mean, everything was...
I think it was a good arc to start on.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Like, this was well planned.
Yeah.
So and now...
And it gets them to remove their friend from early on.
Yeah. Yeah, they fixed a lot of stuff. So I really enjoyed it. I think it was perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not anything that I would have changed.
Yeah.
Even the things where I was like, oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, it still was dope.
Yeah.
So it's like, you just substitute it with something really, really great.
Exactly.
So why, what would I have to hate against it?
Absolutely.
But let's pivot. Let's
pivot.
Talk
hard
about
pivot.
Hard pivot. Hard
Where
pivot
are
from
the
very
other drugs
fun,
going?
Fun animation to gritty, gritty, dark, never sunny.
You're telling me that the fun Vox Machina full of child torture, blood and gore, so
hanging
much
children
blood and
from
gore
trees.
That my
we didn't talk about the hanging from the sun tree.
Let's talk about something quick before we pivot hard. This show had so much gore and like horribleness
and titties
and titties that. My brother's significant other had trouble watching it. It was rough.
They did hang two children.
Yeah, it was rough.
Yeah.
All right, they did not, it was a cartoon. It was animated, but it was not a cartoon. Like, it was it was to the
it was
grittiness
visceral.
Of the campaign, visceral, thank you.
Yeah.
So this is, we're not pivoting that hard. If anything, we might be going a little lighter.
Let's lighten it up to someone who refuses to kill people.
Yeah. The new Batman
trailer, which I just watched right now because I only watched the teaser before.
Yeah.
Now I just watched the trailer right before filming. And I'm still excited.
I'm super stoked.
I don't think I'm as excited as I have been for other things, but I'm excited.
More excited now than I was when I saw the teaser.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more excited for this than I've been for probably. I'm more excited for this than I've been for a DC movie in a long time.
There you go. I was going to say, like, I'm like, Multiverse of Madness has had us screaming in our pants.
I'm literally semi-hard 24/7 for Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah.
It's this is the only thing that gives me the tingles down below DC's put out recently. Okay, even the new Suicide Squad that came out, I liked.
We did.
But I wasn't excited for it.
But we weren't excited beforehand.
Yeah,
Actually, our expectations were super low.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Going into that
movie. I'm hoping they don't bone it. I really want to be good.
Because they have been kind of dropping the ball.
Yes.
They've been dropping the ball, especially on Batman. They've been dropping the ball.
Also, they're kind of nailing it from what I hear with Peacemaker. I still haven't seen it.
It's so good.
I know.
And I've just finished. Clips. The whole thing's out.
The whole thing's out. See it. So they kind of nailed it there.
We'll have an episode on that. I'm not going
to
ruin it.
True to DC form, they're doing better with TV and like short form media.
That's their wheelhouse. Than
they are with the big motion picture stuff.
Yeah.
Now this
Marvel knows how to tell a story in 2 to 3 hours.
Yeah.
DC knows how to tell a story in 10 hours.
Yeah, exactly. And so I'm kind of hoping this one's going to be the one that breaks that. Hopefully. Not breaks that cycle totally, just isn't falling into that pattern.
Yeah.
Because I love Robert Pattinson as Batman.
He's a great actor. He's an amazing actor.
I love the Batmobile.
I love
Catwoman.
I do really like. I feel like she's in this movie a lot.
She is.
This one's
going full blown anti-hero Catwoman.
This should have just been called The Bat and the Cat.
Maybe. and you're getting the Riddler as the main villain, at least from what we know. And
he looks incredibly.
Love him. The real Riddler, by the way. Look, everyone thinks of Jim Carrey as the Riddler, and I love Jim Carrey as the Riddler because I grew up with him.
Yeah.
But he's a bullshit idiot version of the Riddler. Mm-hmm. Okay. The Riddler's one of the few people on scale with Batman intelligence-wise.
Yes.
And he's crazy smart.
Yeah.
And he's also incredibly OCD.
Yeah.
So he, like, follows certain rules about stuff. And it seems like they're playing it up to that.
Yeah.
To be the real comic book Riddler who is,
yeah,
at times, an anti-hero. Mm-hmm. And then at other times, a mass murderer.
They're definitely leaning into the mass murderer.
Yeah, they are definitely going for the mass murderer on this one. But I like that. I want a dark Riddler. I want a really kind of true to comic form Riddler.
He seems like he's really constantly ahead of the Batman.
At least in the trailers. Yeah. He looks like he's the steps ahead. Now, could it
Batman just looks really sad because he's like, I can't figure this out.
Yeah. And it looks, you know, Robert Pattinson is not young, but he looks young. So maybe it's youngest. What do you think of, now here's the important question. Mm-hmm. What do you think of Andy Serkis as Alfred?
There wasn't a lot in the trailer to get me excited. I think he can definitely do the job.
Let me say this, because I think I get your sentiment.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Serkis can, I think, do almost anything. Truly amazing.
Both physical acting, voice acting. Half of his film list is not even human characters. Yeah, he can do anything.
He is truly amazing. That being said, I do not love him for Alfred.
Mm-hmm.
Something about him does not... Now, I haven't seen him act it yet, obviously.
Because he has a villain face?
He's got a villain face.
He's got a villain face.
Villain voice. He does villain really well.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have the sharp British.
Oh, okay.
Like, but still like genteel man kind of thing that Alfred should have. Like, Alfred has always been a fucking savage, but polite about it.
Yes.
And I'm not sure.
He will beat you into the ground, but then just.
And tell you how ugly you look doing it.
Bring you a towel afterwards and tell you to clean yourself up.
Yeah. But I don't know if he's. Yeah. Now, maybe he will. I mean, it's Andy Serkis.
We'll see.
I haven't given
up hope.
He's
got the acting
chops.
Solely
because it's Andy Serkis. Yeah. If there's anyone else before him that looked like him.
You'd been like, nah.
I'd be like, nah, fuck. Nah. They fucked up Alfred.
It's like, they fucked this up. I'm done with this movie already.
But because it's him, I'm like, okay, let's see how this goes.
I also can't be too mad because, like, the fucking penguin looks dope.
Oh, yeah.
Mom, really dope.
You know what this calls back to? This calls back to my favorite Batman movie. Mm-hmm. This has all the makings of Batman Returns.
Okay, yeah.
Because it's got the penguin. It's got the Riddler. Now, Batman Returns didn't have the Riddler. But it's gone full ensemble.
Yeah.
You're getting a snapshot of the Batman universe.
Yes.
Probably varying storylines.
Where he has a rogues gallery.
Yeah, a rogues gallery.
Yeah.
And or anti-hero gallery.
Mm-hmm.
And or whatever is going, you know, his own struggles.
And tons of children.
And I love it. Batman Returns is the Batman I loved growing up.
Yeah.
I watched Batman, like Michael Keaton, Joker, Batman.
Joker, yeah.
Jack Nicholson, Joker. But I loved Batman Returns, Michael Keaton, Danny DeVito, Penguin, you know, Michelle Pfeiffer, Catwoman.
Yeah. Where she was the bomb with a whip.
Oh, my God.
I love the behind the scenes of her actually decapitating the mannequins with the whip. And everyone just being like, I can't even believe.
Yeah, it's just insane.
And she bows and just skips off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, that was my favorite Batman growing up. It was better than Forever. It was better than Batman and Robin by like a mile and a half. Yeah. It was, you know, it was.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. It was just amazing. And I like it better than the Christian Bale ones.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of the corny.
Really, the reason the Christian Bale ones were great is Heath Ledger.
Yeah. Heath Ledger in Batman Returns.
Dark Knight.
Or Dark Knight Returns or whatever.
Yeah.
Was, or Dark Knight.
It was the Dark Knight.
I can't remember names.
It's cool. It's the Dark Knight.
Dark Knight. Batman Begins was the first one. Dark Knight was the second one. Mm-hmm. And then Batman.
Batman Returns.
Batman, was it Returns or was it Dark Knight Returns?
Dark Knight Returns. Something.
Whatever it is.
I hated that one. Yeah, Dark Knight Rises.
Thank you,
I hated
Kyle.
That one.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I didn't love it. So they were fine. They're the gritty, kind of dark Batman movies that kind of brought it back into the mainstream.
Where are the other drugs going?
Yeah, yeah. I get it. But they're so serious.
Yeah.
Why so serious?
Yes. It's almost like Heath Ledger was talking about the script.
Yeah, like that one works because that one was a movie about the Joker and the Batman.
Yeah,
and that worked for the super dark gritty. I did not love the super dark gritty overall.
Yeah.
Batman
you
Returns.
Like the stylized?
I like the stylized Art Deco comic book. Like,
which this one's not going with Art Deco, but it's going with noir.
It is going noir, and
cool.
I do love noir. One of my favorite Batman comic arcs is like Court of Owls, which is very.
They've already talked about it.
Uh-huh.
Did you hear that? They were like, Pattinson said, he was like, I would really love to go up against Court of Owls.
Yeah, that'd be like.
I'd lose my shit. I got those at home. Yeah. I read them frequently.
I love the Court of Owls. Yeah, and so that'd be a good one.
Yeah,
and this kind of goes in that vein a little bit with that sort of styling.
It looks like that's what they're going for.
I think I nailed it in my head. The Begins trilogy is a Batman movie for the mainstream. It only vaguely touches on the comic book stuff.
Yeah,
it changes so much more. And it is really designed for mainstream Batman viewing.
Yeah.
This has a feel like they kind of nod to mainstream, but that they could potentially be going for the comic book vibe with the accurate Riddler.
I will say, there's one thing that counteracts that.
Okay.
Bullet Sponge Batman. They're still going with Bullet Sponge Batman.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I'm
they are.
Not a fan of that. It actually irritates the shit out of me that they keep doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to see Batman get shot a whole bunch. I want to see Batman never get shot.
Yeah.
And people being like, is this dude even real?
Yeah.
That's what I want, and that's what this trailer
Batman
was missing.
Batman isn't human.
He isn't. But that trailer, that was missing from this trailer. This really looks like Batman's a juggernaut again.
Yeah.
And I don't want him to be a juggernaut. I want
this
him to be a ninja.
This one is definitely going
to
show Batman he's not a ninja in this, I promise you. At least from the what they've seen in the trailer, the fights we've seen, this is...
Just look at his suit.
Yeah, this is Bruiser Batman. This is... Yeah. Now, Batfleck... He was
a ninja.
He was awesome. He had the Bruiser.
Yeah,
he could. His was great. His is why I liked him. One of his big perks to him was he was an unstoppable juggernaut that was a Twinkle Toes. He moved around like the fucking darkness.
Yeah,
that's what Batman is. Batman is for a human an unstoppable tank that then crawls on walls and hides in the shadows.
That can jump from one
terrifying.
Corner of a room to another corner of a room.
Yeah.
Like no human being can do.
Yeah.
You can't use your arms to jump across a room.
Exactly. So Batfleck really nailed comic book Batman in that way.
Yeah.
I don't think this is going back into the kind of Begins vibe of it. Now, they may also be playing him up as a younger Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm hopeful that it'll be good.
Yeah.
I'm not.
If you're going to give your hope on what this is, like, where are you going in hope-wise on a scale of 1 to 10? 10 being like, I'm hoping this is going to be the greatest film I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
1 being like, I am going in with the same that I went in with Suicide Squad.
Okay, I'm going in with the expectation that this is probably a 4.
Okay, so you're going in with your lowering your expectations right off the bat.
Now, mind you, DC has repeatedly curb stomped hopes, my my hopes as far as movies.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's I don't have as much as I think this looks good and I am excited to see it.
Yeah.
I fully anticipate I will come out of there being like, yeah, that was okay. Like,
what's funny is we don't normally agree. I completely agree with you. I'm also sitting at around a four for where my hope is.
Yeah.
Because I go, it looks good, but I can find enough holes.
Yep.
And I've historically been disappointed enough that I'm going in with a reasonable expectation, which is less than expecting it to even be good.
Yes. Like five is what I consider like good.
Five is like normal. Like that's how that's how much you should want to go see a movie is a five. Because you're like, I want it to be good. I think it's going to be good. And then it ends up being good.
Yep.
That's a five.
Yep.
We're going in expecting it to be
slightly below
bad.
That. Like I'm expecting it to have like stuff where I'm like, I already know there's things I'm going to be, I already questioned from the trailer.
Nitpick.
Like for instance, and I'm like, I know it's a comic book movie. Eh. Before you get at me in the comments, anyone. I know it's a comic book movie. Yeah. I get it. That being said, there is no car or metal on the planet that could take the damage we see that Batmobile take and keep going in that trailer
alone. You're telling me that like a Hemi can't just go through things like an Abrams?
It's not made of fucking adamantium or whatever the DC
the
version
DC
of
equivalent is.
I get it. It's an armored Batmobile, and I love the Batmobiles. And it's easier to believe when you look at, like, the Batman Returns Batmobile, which is clearly 100% custom-built. Is that all engine? No, it's probably 18 inches of armor plating around a much smaller engine compartment. You know that's true, because at this one point, the sides blow off, and it still totally functions.
Yeah.
So that's all armor.
Also, there's a hook that shoots out the front.
Yeah.
So there's got to be at least a gun with a bunch of spool
but
in it. Yeah.
This thing is just a really sick looking car.
It's a car. It's a muscle car.
It's a dope muscle car. And you know what? The Dukes of Hazzard doesn't work because they broke those cars out of existence. They burned through them so fast on little tiny things.
Yeah.
Let alone jumping through an exploding trailer or whatever
ramming,
it was.
Ramming through what looked like flaming cars.
Yeah. So yeah, it's just a car. It's not, you know, a custom deal. It's not a turbine engine like the Batman Returns Batmobile. It's not a flying car from Batman Beyond. It's not even the Bat Tank from
Begins.
Batman Begins or Batfleck. It's a car, and it's doing stuff that I don't think a car can do.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to have problems with it when I see it.
Suspension of disbelief.
There's a lot of suspension disbelief. It's a lot.
It's like a Challenger, I think.
Yeah, I guess. It is. It's. I don't know. It looked like a Camaro or Challenger or something. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's something along those
lines.
They
took the frame of from like a 67 Camaro and then just armored the shit out of it and clearly gave it a different engine.
Honestly,
and clearly
I
gave
like
a different suspension.
I like it more than I liked the Tumbler.
Oh, I think it's fucking sexy.
Yeah.
I think it's probably going to be awesome.
Yeah.
I'm already going to have problems with what they're going to have it do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just for scientific points.
Yeah.
And once again, don't come at me in the comments. I know. It's a comic book movie. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. I got you. Got you. So you can find us wherever you find your podcast, but the best place to do so is on our website,
RumRunnersPodcastNetwork.com.
That it is. And you can find Scanlon's all of our shows. love it. You can find all of our shows. You can listen to this one. You can listen to Dark Rum. You can listen to Rum Runners. You can listen to the Infinite Universe podcast, as well as all the shows we distribute.
Like, be sure to check out our buddy, my friend and yours, Chungus Cast.
There you go.
Also, I know this. Hold on, it's on the tip of my tongue, but it's one of those tongue twisters for me. Hot. It's not Haswa Sunfire. It's a Akko Senpai.
Akko Bako. What? No, Senpai. You got the first word.
It's Senpai.
Kohai
Senpai. Senpai nope. Kohai.
Why do you always want to flip it?
This name is, I can't do it.
It's Senpai Kohai Podcast.
Senpai Kohai Podcast.
And
I got nothing.
You have to watch this podcast.
You have to watch this podcast, Jared. I'm asking you what I have to watch.
You gotta watch this.
Jared, please, what podcast do I have to watch?
This.
Please, just tell me what podcast I have to watch.
This podcast.
It's a podcast called You Have to Watch This Podcast.
Yes.
Please be sure to check that out.
Follow us on
I love that gag. Old school.
So good.
Who's on first, what's on second. Yeah.
So you can follow us on Instagram and also Twitter @TalkShonen. Make sure to go over and follow our partners on Facebook at Times Live Radio Studios. And make sure if you are in the Lehigh Valley, around the Lehigh Valley, or coming to the Lehigh Valley, if you want to know where to eat, watch the Lehigh Valley Food Podcast for delicious stuff. Hopefully not. Turtle's got to go not get a ticket. Bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening.